And one of the things that Ray uses for entertainment is how I get to a certain place. He'll say, how did you get there?
That's in our conversation sometimes.
So I'm going to tell you how I got to this place. A few months ago, we sat, a couple of months, with a couple that are directors of Camp Ida Haven, Douglas and Darla Rowe. And they were members of this church in its very early days and served in positions here. And we've been friends ever since. And I send Darla some aids through the summer that at least give her a laugh. Managing a summer camp is a big deal. And so last month when we sat with them, she brought me a book. She said, finally, you're always sending me stuff, and I got you a book. And the book was by a woman named Bo Stearns. She's a pastor in Bend. I'd never heard of her. The book was called Beautiful Battlegrounds. Have you heard of her? She's amazing. She did not have simple answers, but she shared her journey of serving her husband through his ALS. And it was a powerful rendering. We read it together. I, of course, started at the back, and Ray started at the front. And at the back, Bo reminded us to build together a memory bank of God's goodness and provision to us and for us and through us. Because when the battles come, we need those memories of His goodness to carry us forward. And that's what we do as family together. And that's what we're going to do this morning.
Yeah, in sharing a little bit, I was touched by her book also. She used three examples of things that helped, examples of experiences that she had in her life that were like getting hit by a truck, you know. And she realized that she needed something to carry her through. And so she started to, she has unfolded that in the book, actually. And so we want to share some this morning with you. Looking back, someone once said these wise words that the past is a place of reference, not a place of residence. Amen. So we're going to look back in order to help us move forward. Yeah. Okay? And so this morning, we're starting with, I think, Nancy, aren't we?
We are. Nancy, okay. You can come forward. I pulled these are my traveling books. These are the journals that I carry with me in my purse one at a time, and have filled them with notes. Let me just say to our pastors that our pastors have rendered us amazing bread of life this year.
Amen.
My sermon notes are here. Even if it's a sentence, sorry, pastors, I do get more than that, but it might be a sentence that will carry us through. And as I have looked through these, I've been very touched again. And I keep them at the end of the year. I go through them and I pull forward into the next year. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here.
So can you think of one from George?
From
I can
George.
Think of one.
Okay, go.
I can think of one from George. Tell the truth and you'll get well.
Yes.
Tell the truth and you'll get well. I really believe that. Short sentence just stuck in me like a burr.
Yeah.
You know. Thank you, George. Nancy, yes. Tell us just a little bit about you. What do you do?
I teach at Hoodview Adventist School.
Okay.
Part-time.
How long have you been being a teacher?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, probably about almost 20 years.
Almost 20.
I came to the teaching game a little late, but God directs.
Okay.
Each of us.
And are you at the right place at the right time in your life
Amen.
Right now? Are you?
Amen.
Okay. Share with us a little bit about what you want to share today.
The one sentence, you shared one from Pastor George. I think the one thing that I would encourage all of us with is be bold in prayer. Be bold.
Amen. Amen.
Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly. I looked up many, many versions. Either come boldly or come in confidence to the throne of our gracious God. Come boldly. And I liked what you said, Penny, about pulling out your journals. Unfortunately, I didn't journal everything, but I did do some journaling through a process, a time in my life that was, to put it mildly, very difficult.
Uncomfortable?
Yes.
Uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable, yeah. Difficult. It's downright hard sometimes in life.
Yeah.
But in Secrets of the Secret Place, Bob encourages us to journal. Chapter 16, I think. I forget. It's all here in my notes. But page, I think it's 69, write it down. I took probably 2 hours this week going back through photos because I didn't write everything down. Some dates that were really actually quite critical. When in chapter, I asked for some help. Page 114, 115, becoming desperate for God. Sometimes life hands us situations that make us desperate. Yeah. And he says, when we enter a season of distress, our first response is to cry out for relief. However, God does not always bring immediate relief, because he destines the distress to produce desperation within us. And when we're desperate for God, we seek him at a level, I sought him at a level that I don't do every day, even to this day. But I need to be desperate for God. So it was through a situation, workplace difficulties, anxiety. I'm not an anxious person. God changed that in me years ago. I used to be quite the worrier, different story. Not anymore. But I was having some anxiety attacks, and I didn't even know what they were. ER visits, this, that, and the other. That was about a month before I got my cancer diagnosis. So I don't know if my body was... So between the stress at work, ER visits, cancer diagnosis. What I did do, and what I am so thankful for in journaling, I was reading another book at the time, Circle Maker. So if I can trade you this this.
Okay.
He talked about in receiving his grandfather's Bible and the notes that his grandfather had written in there and answers to prayer. If we don't pray big, sometimes it's hard to see how God has answered big. So what I did during my time of difficulty, the Psalms were a huge comfort for me.
Amen.
So if I could share with you Psalms 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemy triumph over me. Satan's an enemy. We might have other enemies you come across. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. I underlined that. I wrote in the margin, make my family circle smaller. I didn't know exactly what I wanted, needed, except we were doing a lot of traveling. We have two daughters. They were each about 500 miles away, and we traveled north and south, and we were in the middle. And I wanted a family circle that was smaller. What that looked like, I had no idea. I didn't know how that would be accomplished. Guide me in your truth and teach me. I wrote, help me to know your ways, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. I wrote in the margin, even through anxiety, cancer, and ER visits. Mm-hmm. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. I'm going to skip a few verses and head down to verse 12. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? I fear the Lord. He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. I wrote, show me where to go. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be here where I was mm-hmm. at the time. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. I wrote, help me to look to you. Turn to me. Mick and I shared these verses in bed almost every night. Mm-hmm. And be gracious to me, for I am lonely Amen. And afflicted. I wrote, I have, or by that time, I had had a lumpectomy. I put, I had cancer. The troubles of my heart have multiplied, freed me from my anguish. Mm-hmm. I wrote, release the anxiety. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sin. I wasn't guiltless in all of this. Mm-hmm. I needed God to show me, to free me from my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me? Guard my life and rescue me. I wrote in the margin, praying for no chemo, which God answered, and I didn't have to experience that. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you.
Amen.
Through the whole situation, the stress, the anxiety, anything that we experience, you pray big, God answers big, and it is for this reason, for his honor and for his glory. The situation changed so that within maximum 2 months' time, we were relocated, employment in place. If you teach, you know, receiving a call late June mm-hmm. isn't common. But I got that call, and our family circle became much smaller. Mm-hmm. We are blessed to have our daughters near us, and it was miracle after miracle that God laid down for us, because there is absolutely no way that we could have orchestrated the situation any better than God did. I can't tell you how many things happened that were each time, each day, it was like, how did that happen? It's only God and for his glory. So be bold. Let us come boldly Amen. To the throne of grace.
Amen. Somebody said recently something I was reading about that we need to think of God as being a big God. If we only bring him little problems, our God is a little God.
Yes, absolutely.
I like that thought.
Pray big.
Pray big. Amen. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for sharing. Here's your book.
Nancy's one of our elders. She's just starting a 3-year cycle. Thank you, Nancy, for saying yes to that.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
I too had a nudge about the big things to the big God, that it was doesn't bring God honor when we bring pessimism before the king, that we should come to the king knowing he's an almighty God.
Well, and he has resources.
Yes.
I like this statement that I heard some time ago, that God has a long and consistent history of helping people with limited resources. Dave and Vicki, come on up. So tell us a little bit about yourselves so that some of the church members can know who you are. Vicki has been one of our elders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm Vicki Kachuk, and I served as an elder for the past 3 years. We've been here at this church for about 12 and a half years now. And yeah, what a blessing that that has been for us.
I'm Dave. I belong to her.
And so what do you do, Vicki?
So I work at Adventist Medical Center. I'm one of the directors there for leadership development and patient experience.
You survived that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm currently waiting for God to tell me where I'm serving next.
Okay.
That's part of our story this morning. So
I've had the privilege, actually, of working with both these individuals at Adventist Medical Center. Yeah. What's God put on your heart today you want to share with us?
Yeah, so we just have a little story, I guess, to tell. So as we remember on 2019 and kind of where our journey has taken us, it really started with the 40 days of prayer here at Pleasant Valley that we started in January. And leading into the meetings with Jonathan, the Love Reality Tour. And we were both incredibly impacted by that time and really felt God moving very powerfully both in this congregation and in our lives. And just, you know, drawing us much closer into a deep and rich relationship with Jesus. And that was really an incredible blessing for us. And so we both felt called. We were away for spring break with our girls. And during that time, you know, we were reflecting back on the 40 days of prayer and felt like, you know what, why don't we do our own 40 days of prayer just for us? And so we started that and we said, well, what do we really want to focus on? And what we decided, we really wanted to have it be a time where we reached out to God and said, God, are we living the life you want us to live? Yeah. Are we aligned with your will for us? What does that look like? Please reveal your will for us in your life. So that started April 1. And at that time, Dave and I were both working at the hospital. And April 24, we were both at work. And at the end of the day, we're walking out to our cars. And Dave let me know that his position as operations executive there at the hospital was going to be cut. And so it was an interesting thing. Within probably just a couple minutes of him sharing that news with me, we looked at each other and we said, be careful what you pray for. Because we were asking God to move in our lives. And he definitely moved in a way that was never anywhere on our radar. It wasn't anything that we thought of. That's the thing. When you open yourself up to God and say, God, please move in my life, you have to be willing for him to answer, right? And so it's been an incredible journey for us since that time. And one of the things that, as we think about some of those phrases from George, for us, for me, it's been God's will, God's way, God's time. So that's part of where we're at right now.
So Vicki has told you the beginning of the story, and everybody knows that a really good story has a beginning, a middle, and the end, and I would love to be able to stand here today and tell you the end. I can't. I'm stuck in the middle. And I think that's been my journey of learning with God, is that I have become comfortable with telling anybody who asks me, you know, so what's going on, where, you know, what's happening, and I have to say, I don't know. And I've had to become very comfortable telling people, I don't know where we're going. I don't know what will happen. I'm doing all of those things that normal people do in my situation to try and get out of my situation. So I've got that covered. And God, I have had to learn to rely on God to take care of the rest. And that has been my journey. So here I am in the middle. Someday I would love to come back, stand right here, and tell you all about the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that as I've been kind of working through it is, I don't know with what's happened in our lives, is it God directed? Is it God's action? Or was it God preparing our hearts for something? And I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that answer. What I do know is that God has gifted us with peace. And I think during this time has really we've been asking ourselves, okay, what do we need to learn during this time? What is God needing from us? And I think he has been calling us to learn to trust and have patience.
Amen.
I'm not naturally a patient person. I like all my answers yesterday. And I'm also a planner. And so being in a time of uncertainty is a time where I have to really say, okay, I can't trust in myself and my own abilities. It's I have to trust in God, and I know God's got this. And so it's been a time where we've definitely grown, and we're also taking advantage of a gift that we wouldn't otherwise have to really kind of take some time with our family. And, you know, God's given us this opportunity. Let's make the most of it.
I remind myself a lot of his attributes. His ways are higher than mine. His thoughts are higher than mine. And I rest in that. And from the very beginning, there's another one that I've been resting in. That is, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Mm-hmm. Blessed be his name.
Amen. Amen. So I have a word for you, Dave.
Yes.
You know, one of the things, the passage up on the screen is Malachi 3:16. And in that passage, God reminds us of something important, that he takes notice of when we share stories about his goodness in our lives. In fact, he even says that there's a book written in book in heaven where he writes those things down. So he's recording today. So my experience happened about 1993. I was in that transition place. It's just so uncomfortable. And I wanted a job as a chaplain. I was doing a residency, and I applied for a couple jobs, and nothing happened. You know, nothing happened. But in the middle of that, God said something to me. So this is a word to you guys. He said to me, Ray, your future doesn't depend upon whether you're hired by Florida Hospital or not. Your future depends upon your connection with me.
Absolutely.
It was just so profound.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that goes with some of the things that we've learned with Jonathan of where we find our identity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And
Amen.
Our identity is not my position or your position or even our identity as a family. Our identity is as sons and daughters of God. That's who we are.
You mean it's not connected to our job?
No.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen.
It's the last quick move of the day.
Let's see, who's next?
Annalise.
Annalise, come and join us up here.
Good morning, everyone.
So tell us about yourself.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Huh?
So I have been a student professionally for a very long time. I kind of just went all the way through up to a doctorate in clinical psychology, which I graduated with this past May.
No kidding.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you tired yet?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very tired.
I remember my daughter, Julie, going from academy all the way through school, through being a dental hygienist, a summer also.
Mm-hmm.
And she was describing for me how tired she was. She was just tired, I guess. Just imagine. You identify?
I do.
Yeah.
I identify, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm currently working with Providence Medical Group as a psychologist resident there and really enjoying that work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have to share with us today?
Yeah. So I think just kind of some context for my process with God is that I am a fifth generation Adventist, probably maybe more, mm-hmm. on both sides of my family, with a lot of pastors. My grandfather's a pastor, my cousin's a pastor, my father's a pastor, my mom's an Adventist teacher, so I am quite inbred.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, my faith has been very valuable to me my whole life. I went to Adventist school, worked at Adventist summer camp, preached in college. It's always been like a huge value to me. And while also a value and done so sincerely, I think also partly done because I believed I needed to like impress God with what I did for him. Mm-hmm. There was some conditions of worth around earning his favor over my life. And God's done a big work on that in helping me understand his love over time and pain. And I think I really have grasped the concept of justification, that I am a daughter of God. I Amen. Am who he says I am, and that my identity is firmly and solidly in him.
Amen.
That was something that Jonathan Seminars really blessed me on. But, I'm a person who's always stuck somewhere. So where I was feeling stuck was this place of, I believe I'm a daughter, and I still like have so much suffering. There's still so many parts of me that are so in process, and where is God in that? I had a lot of like black and white thinking, I think, about my faith and about if I still struggle here, then do I really embrace what God says about me? And that caused me, I think, some shame, some distress. Am I worthy to be doing what I'm doing for God, or am I an imposter? And I think that became even more difficult for me when I began to do the type of work I do. I sit with people who are experiencing a level of pain I didn't even know existed in the world in the way I grew up. People who've been through like unspeakable traumas, people who've had just the most devastating grief experiences, people with mental health, where for them to get up and take a shower in the day is a big win. Mm-hmm. And I had this sort of idea that God valued product over process. And these people were so in process. It was so messy. It still is messy. And I began to wonder, where is God in the process? In my process, in these people's process, is there some limitation to my belief in God? Because there's a disconnect for me here. And I think that that's where the concept of sanctification has really come in. Understanding that God says, I'm a daughter, and I am, and that is my identity. But the process of healing and redemption is a long, never-ending one. That continues to go on and on and on and on until he comes and calls us home. And then things really culminated for me when Jonathan came back and talked about God being a healer. That hit for me. I think that that was the piece I felt like I was missing in God. I know he's the Redeemer. I know he's the Savior. I know he's all of these things, but I was missing God as the healer. And I think especially with the type of work I do, and then the type of year I had last year, you know, we had this theme, Come Awake, and I was really looking forward to, like, this empowered, like, refreshed just year, and it was just a hard year. Yeah, as life does, it was a hard year. My husband was unemployed for most of the year, so that was just really stressful, and I was an intern, so I had a stipend, not a salary. Right. So there was just a lot of strain and stress. And then on top of that, Jared's mom, my mother-in-law, I've talked about this here before, but she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and has just had treatment with lots of hope, but not necessarily a lot of progress. And I've understood God is a God of healing in that he is God with us. And he heals our hearts, even when the outcome isn't what we wish it would be. Amen. That he is there, and he is healing. And he is bringing wholeness, even when it's a different kind of wholeness than what we would have hoped for or imagined. Because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
And he's a God that's with us in disappointment.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of verses that have really spoke to me. Matthew 11:28, verse 29, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So maybe sometimes healing looks like rest. Also Isaiah 43:19, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland.
Amen.
What a beautiful, I think, image of healing. Something new. Meaning that if there's a wound, he'll bring a balm to it and heal it. If there's broken pieces, it might not look the same later, but it'll put it back together to be something new and beautiful that's valuable, even if it's different than what we might have hoped for or imagined. And ultimately, he is Emmanuel. He's God with us in the process.
Amen. Amen.
To bring us to who he wants us to be, yeah. And to bring us through the ongoing pain that just is a part of this world.
Yeah. Thank you, Annalise. Now, if y'all are looking at us, you can see that there's a little age disparity here. Huh? Okay.
It's a little.
Now, I can say amen to what you have said, because I've lived longer than you have.
Yeah.
And I have seen God to be faithful in just the ways that you've said. Through the process. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to confess that I've said quite often, I am just so amazed at how long it has taken me to understand some things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really. But he's with us in the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're fully human, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're fully human. We're not God. We're not there yet.
We don't have to be.
Oh, isn't that? I'm so thankful for that.
Me too. Me too.
Thank you, Annalise.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Annalise is in her second year of serving as one of our elders. We're grateful, on top of all this load that she carries, that she said yes to loving us in this role. And we appreciate that and what you bring.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Appreciate your friendship, too. Yeah. Yeah.
John, if you'll make your way up. John Holland. John is another of our elders, just starting his three-year. I shouldn't say that out loud, maybe. He's just starting his journey with us as elder.
John.
Yeah.
Have you been a Christian all your life?
No, I have not.
Haven't? Okay.
No. Raised in an Adventist home, but did some wandering in the world.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Share with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Annalise, I appreciate what you shared, because
Amen.
The verse that comes to mind to me that I wanted to share with you all this morning is that in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it.
Yes.
At the day of Christ Jesus. And so I trust in that promise
Amen.
Often in my life, because I don't always feel like there's a good work going on inside of me.
Yeah.
Thank you for this opportunity to do this. As was mentioned, my wife and I, we've been coming here since about March. It's part of our story here. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Prior to that, I had been serving as a pastor for about 5 years. Started down in Alabama, and Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And we served there for about 3 years and then took, I use this term here, a call to Klamath Falls. And we were there for about 16 months, maybe 18 months, and I couldn't handle it anymore. I said, I can't, God, I can't do this. I can't do it. And so we... We're praying. I was praying about things. What else can I do? And I was there was a struggle going on, because I was always led to believe if you're called to do something, there's no other option.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was wrestling with. Like, how can I leave pastoring if God has called me to do this?
Yeah.
And so it was a big struggle. And I ultimately found a position. The Lord found me a position in the conference to serve in the Treasury Department, which has been a very healing thing for me and my family, and we are grateful for it. And so here's kind of where PVC comes into the picture. We've been at the conference now a year ago, August, so 2018. We first moved up to Malala. It was a temporary housing situation because it was summertime and it was hard to find a place to move and transition from Klamath up to this area. And we were church shopping. And PVC was a church. We knew some people that attended here, the bands and some others. And so we came and paid you guys a visit. And we were praying for God to give us a healing church. Uh-huh. Not only a healing job, but a place that we could come and find some healing because of some of the things that we had gone through. And here we are today. Part of what, if you hold the bulletin up, the bulletin actually, the font from this bulletin is the same font and layout as our home church in Texas where Melinda and I met.
Oh, really?
And so part of it wasn't just the font that led us here. You know, you guys are great people. Yeah, but it was interesting that even the bulletin and other things about this church reminded us of the joy we had at the church where we first met.
Oh, yeah.
And it was neat. So we've been here, and this year has been still that wrestle about call. Lord, am I supposed to be a pastor? And what is that all about? And so this year is where some clarity came to mind in two different ways. One of those ways, Ray, will you grab that phone and that book there? Just hold that for
that's
me.
Right,
yeah, that's right there.
Okay.
One of those ways, and Nancy, thank you for using this book as well. This was something that was given as a 40 days of prayer prior to the fall series that Jonathan did. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this. I don't know much about this guy. I don't know anything about this book. I'm going to do it. I heard you guys talking about it. And so I started journeying in this. And here's what came to my mind. Here's the testimony this morning. In chapter 45, this was an interesting thought that I really hadn't considered before with this idea of call. Mm-hmm. I've always related call to a profession or service or mission or something like that. I've never related call to relationship. And in chapter 45, it's the secret of intimacy first. Uh-huh. And this is what the author says. I am not primarily a worker for God. I am first and foremost a lover of God.
Amen. Amen.
God's call for all of us is first and foremost, a call to a relationship with Him. Out of that flows the mission, the job, the workplace, the teaching, the preaching, whatever it is that God is then placing you to do, it stems primarily from the call to know Him, to sit at His feet, to worship Him. There has been a shift in my life this year. As a result of being here in this church, of being in this book, of being in God's Word, of being in good fellowship and community. And I'm just so grateful for what He is doing and will continue to do until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
That's a good amen.
I think our time is up.
Yeah. We'll say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Come up, worship team.
God, our God, it is our joy to thank You this day. It is our joy, our grateful heart joy, to give You the praise and the glory this day. And we ask again yet this day that You would fill us anew like the sunrise of this day and pour us out. Make us bread and wine for the hungry and the thirsty, so that we may be lights in the darkness for others. Thank You. Precious God, in Your mighty name we pray these things. Amen.